Talking with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Poor Council, and Roy Lee, let's talk maybe a little bit about, first of all, some end-of-the-year type stuff. And 2014 has been an interesting year. It's been, I think, a year that a lot of hog producers would have liked to forgot early on about when, as they were living through this first full year of PEDV. But yet at the same time, we've had really strong demand for red meat in general, pork and especially, and corn prices have finally dropped. That had to be good.
Yeah, I think if you can just separate it really into those two pieces. And so, yeah, the first part of the year, especially when we were dealing with PED on farms, you know, the loss of all those pigs is extremely difficult to deal with from an emotional toll, just from day after day, instead of raising healthy pigs, you're having to euthanize pigs. Tremendous emotional toll as you go through that. You can counter that a little bit with, hey, we've got lower corn prices, which means we can raise hogs for less money because of the reduction in supply of hogs, in addition to the reduction of supply of beef cattle and the high price for meat in general. Market hogs are worth more than they'd ever been worth this summer. And so you had some time where you saw record hog prices and you saw low corn prices, and that translates into some profitability for producers, an opportunity to really kind of put some money back in the bank and fill in some of the equity hole that had been building over the last 3 or 4 years, as we saw really high corn prices, the drought a couple of years ago in the Corn Belt, tremendous impact on profitability for producers. And so we got to dig out of that a little bit, if you will. And now we anxiously wait to see what we're going to get into in 2015.
Now, the structure of the hog industry, the swine industry in Oklahoma, has been kind of gradually shifting. We're more of a sow state now more than ever before.
Yeah, and that's going to continue, Ron. There's nothing really that will lend itself to that reverting back to taking hogs essentially from birth to market, if you will, here in Oklahoma. I said years ago, and I think this is still very accurate, the most valuable thing you own on your farm in terms of just true dollar value is the license to operate that farm. And if it's a state license and you already have it, then you can change that farm from finishing hogs to sows or from nurseries to sows, whatever, relatively easily, because you don't have to go back through and license the facility again. You've got to get your plans approved, but you don't have to start the process over. Mm-hmm. And with the ability to ship pigs, you know, when we originally started building farms in Oklahoma, diesel was 80 cents a gallon, and you could afford to put hogs on a truck and ship them to a processing plant in Iowa or to wherever they were going. At $3 and something cents a gallon for diesel, you can't afford to do that as much. And so the question becomes, is it cheaper to ship baby pigs to corn or corn to baby pigs? And just kind of, I use this analogy a lot, or comparison. You can put enough corn on a semi-trailer to feed 100 hogs to market weight. Or I can put about 2,500 baby pigs on the same tractor trailer and send them to Iowa. Now, what makes more sense from an economic standpoint? And so when you think about it in those terms, you know, same number of trucks, same whatever, it's obviously going to make more sense to ship pigs to corn than corn to pigs. And so we're going to continue to see that trend. You're seeing it all across the country. This is not just an Oklahoma trend. If you go back and look at North Carolina, you know, historically the second largest hog producing state here, I say historically over the last 30 years, 40 years, you're starting to see their market hog numbers trend down as well for the same reason. You're seeing market hogs pop up in South Dakota that weren't there before. Why? Because they've got corn and I can ship, you know, hogs up into that region, South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and finish them. And that's what we're going to see. And I think that's going to continue here. The seaboard plant in Guymon, it needs a certain number of hogs, and we're going to maintain an inventory, I think, around to help feed that plant. Mm-hmm. But outside of that narrow window, everything really that's outside the panhandle of Oklahoma is going to be looking to move baby pigs from Oklahoma up into the Midwest.
So we'll be more and more at that sow state.
Yeah, we're fifth nationally in terms of sow herd or breeding herd, if you will, and I think that's going to continue. I don't think there's a whole lot of opportunity for us to move up on that list. Mm-hmm. We could maybe get to fourth. We're not going to get to where Iowa, North Carolina, and Minnesota are, 1, 2, and 3, but we could get up to maybe fourth on that list. But we're not far behind. Illinois is fifth, and we're not far behind Illinois. But No real chance for us to move up much at all as it relates to total hogs and pigs. And I would even contend we're likely to continue to fall down the list on total hogs and pigs.
When it comes to, you mentioned seaboard, one thing you think about with that seaboard plant, besides the fact that we do need a certain number of hogs here from this part of the world, is that we send so much pork out of that plant internationally. And the export market's been a real shining star for the pork industry.
Yeah, we're exporting, you know, depending on the week or the month, 23% to 26% of all the pork that's produced here in this country gets exported, and generally, a lot of that export is product that we won't eat here in the country, so it adds tremendous value to our product, to our hogs, if you will, because if you've got to find another place to go with meats that we're not, variety meats, et cetera, that we're not anxious to have on our dinner plate, then that's just extra product you got to figure out how to move, and that brings the whole value of the carcass down. So if you can sell those abroad, and we've done a wonderful job of selling those abroad, then, hey, that's a tremendous upside for the industry. You add in the growth of markets like South Korea, China, Japan. Japan continues to be our number one value market. They like high-end cuts, same kinds of cuts that we like here in the States, loins, tenderloins. They like pork shoulders. They like bellies, same kinds of product, and they're willing to pay a premium for it because they don't have enough in their own country to meet their demands. China has eliminated over the last 3 years almost as many sows as we have in the entire United States out of their herd, and they continue to need more pigs to meet the demand for pork. South Korea, tremendous market. Vietnam has the potential to be an unbelievable market for us. And so as we look to the future, National Pork Board, even in their new strategic plan, you know, they talk about pigs, people, and planet, and part of that is to be, part of their mission statement really is to be the global meat protein of choice around the world. And so when you think about that, they're talking about how do we sell more product to China? How do we sell more in other parts of the world? And these free trade agreements that are out there that are pending that we're trying to hash out, those have tremendous possibilities for us, but we've got to figure out how to get those things finished.